We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
What's good, y'all? We are back in the building. All right, it's your boy Dante Miles, episode 6 of the High and Outside podcast. I'm going to bring in my co-host. First, we got to go with the NBA champion, you know, first time, long time. Sid, how you feeling, bro?
It's cool, for real. You know, my grandma called me, my mom called me, a lot of different people called me. So it's cool being like the first Knicks fan that someone thinks of when they think of the Knicks. Like, that's pretty sick. So, you know, let's do it again next year.
No, absolutely, bro. And of course, he is actually at the ballpark right now, holding it down in Texas. Malik, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, bro. We don't have a lot of days at the ballpark this month with the World Cup being in. They call it Dallas, but we're in Arlington. So here to catch a little bit of Byron Buxton tonight. You know, it was days a few years ago, and I knock on wood even before I say this, where seeing Byron Buxton was like seeing the Chupacabra or whatever with all the games he missed. So he's doing his thing. He's in balling now. We'll see what he's got tonight.
Yeah, no, bro. It's definitely going to be a good game out there. Braves coming back to town. They play tomorrow. I will be back at the ballpark tomorrow when you all are listening to this. But let's jump right into it. And, you know, I was very excited last week, and I have more to be excited about this week. Your first place, Chicago White Sox.
Wait, do you? Or,
yes,
oh,
we're talking yes, about, okay, very, we're talking very about much so. Boston. We're talking about hometown right now. Remember, with the Braves, this work. With the White Sox, I'm a fan. This is me being a fan. We're having fun.
Gotcha.
We're back enjoying things. Jerry Reinsdorf, you're a great man. I don't care what they say about you. You're a great person. But no, the buzz is really back on the south side of Chicago, man. And I know when we talked about it even last week, but especially last month, it was more so, let's see if this is a fluke or not. You got young guys performing. Murakami came out, you know, as expected, as advertised. People were scared about the velo. We all know. You know, he's proven he's a hitter. He'll be back in about, you know, a couple of weeks. They say he's been doing some light running in the outfield. Well, overall, you're looking at a team that has exceeded expectation. They already have that 38th win. You know, a few years ago, they only won 34 games. So you're talking about, you know, a team that was the worst team in MLB history. Now you're looking at one of the quickest turnarounds. And you got to really tip your hat to Chris Getz. But let's go through a little bit about the Chicago White Sox and the success they're having right now. And I want you guys to chime in, you know, because I do have a question that I'm going to attach to this. But like I said, you know, Murakami went down 2 weeks ago, right as the Chicago White Sox hit the toughest portion of their schedule. And what did they do? They beat the Atlanta Braves, and they took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. So the third game in that Braves series was postponed to the rain, but you win 2 in that series. You go 4-1 against the Braves and the Dodgers, two of the best teams in the National League. And you did it without some of your best players. Once again, you know, we've talked about Kyle Teal. We saw him starring for a team in the World Baseball Classic. He's headed to rehab. Noah Schultz, your left-handed phenom, he's headed to a rehab assignment. So you're doing all this and having this success with, you know, a lot of your best players still on the mend, still coming back. And with that being said, let me point out the guy who has clearly been the heart and soul of this team. We're going to have to clip this. I'm talking about Miguel Vargas. Miguel Vargas was acquired last year from the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, pointed to his demeanor and said, you know, he doesn't really want to be there. But this year he has shown that not only is he a player, he has been statistically the best third baseman in Major League Baseball. And for those who don't believe me, Miguel Vargas currently leads all Major League third basemen in home runs, RBIs, walks. He's second in overall WAR. He's second in OPS. And this is a guy who, you know, for all intents and purposes, was an additional piece in the Michael Kopech trade. But he's turned out to be what is essentially looking like a cornerstone in this rebuild. And that's something that's important because for those of us who are White Sox fans, you remember the first rebuild with Chris Sale and how that worked. And those pieces and how they eventually fell apart. But now you're reaching a situation where, with the addition of Brandon Montgomery, who became the fifth player in Major League history to hit a walk-off, in his debut. A guy who's a switch hitter, power hitter, outfielder. All four pieces from the first trade that sparked this rebuild have made the Major League roster. Of course, we're talking about Braden, Kyle Teal. Chase Meredith has been, he is, in my opinion, and this is not me being a fan, this is just looking at all of the numbers and looking at everything, he should represent the American League at second base in the All-Star game. I think he's been that good of a player. Sam Antonacci, bro, yeah, he was not a part of this trade, but this is a guy who has come in, late-round draft pick. Now you have him at the top of your lineup doing damage. And this is a team that now, as we head into the trade deadline and we get closer, now people are talking about them being serious buyers here. Like, you hear whispers that Jerry Reinsdorf, he wants to, you know, end this thing with the bank before he hands it over. And now that they see the success of this team, they see that this has been an extended period of success and not something that's a fluke, they want to see what they can do this year. So, I mean, I know the name I've thrown out there in, you know, several group chats and just talking to people with Sandy Alcantara from Miami. I think that's somebody you should absolutely look into, especially with the amount of left-handed pitching you have on this roster. Another person is Logan Webb. You know, whenever a team comes out, San Francisco recently just came out and said, we are in no way are we trading Logan Webb. That basically means send the shit that's off. You know, what do you got from me? So I think, you know, at this point, if you're the Chicago White Sox, and the ace in the hole for me is that number one pick. When you have the number one pick in the draft, I can afford to trade a top prospect because I'm about to replace that with the top prospect in the country, essentially. So it's one of those things for me where I believe this is a time now where you can get aggressive. But more importantly, I think, as shortstop Colson Montgomery said, this is not a fluke. It's no longer a team you can look at and say, okay, maybe they get lucky tonight. No, this is, you know, one of the best offenses in baseball. And the bullpen has been solid, and they are only going to get better. And it's a matter of Grant Taylor. Shout out to Grant Taylor. You know, there were, for those that don't remember, there were two pitchers that were dominant at LSU. It wasn't just Paul Skeens. Grant, you know, had the Tommy John surgery. He's transitioned to the bullpen. And now you're looking at a guy who's been lights out in, you know, whenever they decided to use him, whether it be in the closer role or as a setup man. So this is somebody else that they've been building with, you know. People, I talked about him switching to a starter, but for me, I think I have my closer of the future right there. So I'm going to ask you guys real quick, just about the White Sox. Is this a situation where if you were in the hot seat, you were the general manager, would you be willing to part ways with a couple of prospects to try to go and get some pitching? Or is this another situation where it's like, you know, let's continue to stay the course. This is technically year one, really, of the rebuild. And let's just continue to wait and see what we got.
I'll go first, you know, in the spirit of Mikal Bridges, fuck them picks, you know, what can you do? What can you say? I think baseball is a bit different than basketball in giving away those picks, but, it's also very important to realize like the importance of the staying power in baseball, especially when it comes to pitching, not only for your present, but for your future. We're talking about people who have either had, you know, playoff runs or people who have been a part of big innings or big pennant races. Those are like the type of people you do want to consider when you are talking about if we're going to acquire a new piece, because, you know, this talks about how we slot for the present. This talks about how we slot for the future, what dynamic you want your bullpen or your starting pitchers to have when it comes to who you bring in. So it's a tricky situation. But I think, like, you know, if you feel like you have something real, we're in a different era of baseball to where anything is possible. So anything is possible. Let's make it more probable. Make that trade, especially when you have the insurance of a number one pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Before you go, but just like, you know, you have a prospect like not only Jacob Gonzalez, who is many consider a late bloomer, but you have Caleb Bonimer, who has, you know, rocketed up your rankings this year. I'm a guy, you know, trade those guys while they're hot. No disrespect. I know they could turn into players, but if it's a situation where you have guys and, you know, I still think 1994 is lingering over Jerry Reinsdorf's head. And, you know, he remembers that lockout, how good that White Sox team was before they tried to be condemned. So if it's a situation where we're staring down the barrel of another lockout, you know, go get a couple guys and see what you can do. You know, we've added two playoff teams. It's a situation where anything can happen, like you just said, Sid. So that's where I'm at with it. Malik, how do you feel?
Yeah, interesting for them, too, because they're competing so well in a division that's not stacked. So to play a little bit of devil's advocate, do they need to make a move to win a division? I don't know. I think they might be able to handle that themselves, especially with some of the injuries that Cleveland just suffered. J-Ram's out now. Vinny Pasquantino's out on a Royals team that was, you know, they're scratching and clawing to find their way in the mix. But I agree with y'all, what y'all say about that first overall pick. It definitely gives flexibility. I cover a team over here in the Texas Rangers that just traded their first-round pick from 2025 along with Mackenzie Gore. Now, we've seen in doing some of those deals that they've done, five prospects for Mackenzie Gore. I want to say three or four came last year for Merrill Kelly. And it does suck. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's currently the Marlins catcher, Liam Hicks. I believe it's Liam Hicks. Leading, he's like second in the league in RBIs. And the Rangers are missing a catcher. So, yeah, those prospects, they can hurt in hindsight when you look back at it. But personally, I don't think that the White Sox need to be in a situation where they're going for like a Scooble. I think there's a way that they can trade some prospects, you know, get a nice right-handed bat, you know, a good lefty who hits righties, maybe even a guy, a guy on a one-year deal, not to use a bunch of Rangers examples, but a Jock Peterson type player that you're not buying high on, you know, low risk reward. You're sending a good prospect, but you also have to consider that they have guys who were prospects playing on the team now, and you're going to have to give them time to play. So definitely think the White Sox should make a move, just not on that bigger scale. I do want to give a quick shout out, though, to Davis Martin. I'm looking at this guy, and I see a 9-2 record. I see a solid start against those Atlanta Braves. It looks like he got hit up pretty good against the Minnesota Twins. He gave up 6 earned that game. And his ERA over his last seven starts is still only 2.83. So those are solid numbers. White Sox doing the thing with the pitching. I'm excited to see what they do this summer.
Yeah. No, Davis Martin has really been the anchor of this rotation. You know, Shane Smith ended up being demoted earlier in the season. Rule 5 draft pick last year who ended up being an all-star. But I think, you know, like I said, if there's any move to be made, they're probably going to make a move for an arm, maybe two. And the arms that they, I don't think it'll be a Scooble, but like depending on who you can get, if you do have some pitching out there available, all reports, Bob Nightingale reported it as well, have said the White Sox will be aggressive in their search. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. And that leads us right into our next team. You know, the team that I just mentioned will be back in town tomorrow, the Atlanta Braves. Man, it's been all, you know, it's been pretty rosy. I know Sid, you know, had his comments to make when, you know, the last series against the Mets, things didn't end them the way that we wanted them to. But however, you know, the Atlanta Braves are still in first place in the NL East. 8-game lead right now, but the rest of the division is starting to play better. So, you know, knowing how the summer goes with the NL East, it's not really the time for injuries. And you got some good news and you got some bad news. The good news was, of course, Drake Baldwin has been reinstated. So, you know, you're getting, you know, as people call him, Mike Piazza reincarnated back behind the dish, you know, a guy that, you know, he was struggling a little bit before he went down, but still a guy who we saw through the beginning of the year looked like a potential MVP candidate, the way he was hitting the baseball. So bringing him back into the fold, you still have the third highest run differential in baseball. You know, it's 100 and plus 107 they are currently. But again, good news, bad news. You lost Ronald Acuña during that Cubs series with the hamstring. You know, he's working his way back, but there's still no, you know, update on his return just yet. I'll see if we get something tomorrow. And then you get the announcement that Spencer Strider will be shut down for 4 weeks. And after 4 weeks, he'll have the MRI. So you never want to hear that. We never want to hear those things. And this is the guy who's had injuries, who's battled back from those injuries, and he was having a decent year. The ERA has been up to, Velo's been hit or miss, but at the same time, the way this team has been playing, it was kind of perfect because he was able to, you know, work his way back, which he was doing before the injury. So, of course, I'm talking about Mr. Like I said, Spencer Strider. So now, if you're the Braves, you've been put in a predicament where at first there were, you know, whispers, of possibly going after a scoople, even if he's a rental, even if you don't have the ability to re-sign him. But now I think you really have to open yourself up to look for not just a scoople, but whatever top pitchers are. But because now, you know, your pitching staff, which already has, you know, held you down tremendously throughout, you know, this season with the injuries you already had to the staff, is getting even thinner. So my question to you all, do the Braves finally, and I believe we danced around this episode previously, but now I think it's just time to do it. Do the Braves go after school? Do the Braves, are they the team that needs to, you know, drop everything and say, this is who we're going after, this is who we're going to get?
It's tough because, well, I don't think that's a Braves-like move, man. The goal is to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers at the end of the day in the National League. And with Spencer Strider out, that just gets a little less unlikely. Now, do you want to face Tarik Skubal knowing that the Los Angeles Dodgers are the one team that has the ace in the pocket of willing to spend $1 billion and defer it, or they have plenty of prospects that they're ready to unload on, and maybe even players on the current roster? If you can weigh those things, man, if it doesn't kill your division, I definitely think that I could probably, I'll say this, I will throw the Braves name in the hat of teams along with the Seattle Mariners, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Yankees, the Dodgers, of teams that should go for Skubal. You've had this core mainly around since 2021, 2022, after that World Series. Of course, Acuna being healthy is going to be the main key in them winning it. But like you said, with Strider being down, and who knows, that type of injury, of course, he won't be here by All-Star break, and maybe he's not here for August. Maybe you have Strider for the playoffs in a lesser role that helps save his arm. But, yeah, I definitely think now, after a few injuries, if you want to beat the man, you know, you gotta swing hard, and I think doing that with Skubal would be good for the Braves.
See, how you feel? I mean, you know, I know this is a tough one for you to actually answer, but no, in all seriousness, in all New York Mets-ness aside, if you were the Atlanta Braves, how do you navigate this next month leading into the break and the trade deadline?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things to where you don't want to rest on your laurels because it is the NL East. And I'll say this till the end of the time. Jeremy Hefner, I know the man that, you know, that runs pitching. And I know exactly what's going to happen when you come up against your divisional rivals with Jeremy Hefner as your pitching coach, no matter how good your pitchers are. So, no, I don't think they actually make a move for Skubal. I think they try to supplement with a bit more around in terms of versatility of arms instead. Nobody really knows what that looks like because bullpens and long games and 4 or 5 and like 5 days of rest guys, 6 days of rest guys, that's always going to look different. But no, I don't think they do it. I think the St. Louis Cardinals might like go crazy and like just unload a bunch of prospects for Tarik Skubal, because that would make sense, especially since they're playing like some pretty decent baseball right now. But no, I don't think Tarik Skubal and Atlanta are the ones for each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll, like I said, it's nothing concrete has been mentioned about this. This is just something I wanted to post to do again, because I think now with the Strider announcement, there's a different sense of urgency in terms of them finding more arms to supplement what they've already done. I mean, the offense, you know, you've had some surprise performance, and Austin Riley is still hovering around that Mendoza line. So who knows what Mr. Alex does here, but we're going to have to wait and see. It's going to be very interesting because we have a team, like I said, in first place. It seems like you just said, you don't want to just rest on the fact that, hey, we have an 8-game lead, we're going to float here, and things will be okay. That's never how it works. Baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and now it's the time to, you know, as we head toward the break, to really see what they're going to do to set themselves up for that home stretch. And, you know, speaking of the home stretch, you got one more one more. It's a really short show for you today. Malik, before you get out of here, bro, we're going to let you anchor this one. Talk to us about the Texas Rangers, man. I know the AL West has been, you know, underachieving as a total, I don't want to say league, total division. But the Texas Rangers now have found themselves right in the hunt of it. This is one of those years where 500 may very well win that division, and they are currently hovering around their mark. So, you know, what have you seen out there? I know you're at the ballpark right now, but we'll have to get out of there in a second. What's something you've seen from the Rangers, and what's something that you would like to see going forward in order to, for them to actually, you know, take over the division?
Yeah, I think something that's been huge for them has been next man up mentality. They had to deal with Wyatt Langford being injured. We're recording this on Monday. Corey Seager just got announced. He's on the injury list 7 days with a concussion. This after he spent a month on the IL with the back injury. And they've gotten so much contributions from other players. I know you mentioned, Meredith as the AL All-Star second baseman. We have a guy here in Arlington, Texas, Ezekiel Duran. Who he's just been a do-everything guy, and he's a fantastic story. He was on the World Series team. I don't think he played a single inning. He barely played in the playoffs at all. I don't think he took more than three at-bats if he did. Even last year, didn't get much playing time. He was known as the young Robinson Cano before the Yankees snagged him, and he was moved over here from the Joey Gallo trade. He's been huge, filling in at shortstop for Seager, filling in at third base when Jung went down for a little bit, and now he's sort of took and honed of that second base spot, one of the top performers, hitting wise. He can play everywhere, great utility glove. And then a guy more recently, Nicky Lopez, a super journeyman guy, I forget if he was on the White Sox. I know he was former Royal.
He was.
He also spent some time with the Chicago Cubs earlier this year before he was released after he only played in about 16 games. His impact defensively is and just turning double plays and the timely hitting, the getting bunts down, things like that have really elevated a Ranger offense that they're not the power Rangers that we saw from the years of Nelson Cruz and Josh Hamilton. They need to work on base. Something that I would like to see from them though, man, is I think they need another bat, and they need this guy Corey Seager to stay healthy. It's getting to a point now where he's in that old buck territory where we can't worry about what we're going to be like with Corey Seager. This team needs to figure out who they are without him, and Seager can come as an additional plus. It's like you can't trust him swinging. You can't trust him running the bases. He can pull something at the blink of an eye, and he can barely slide into home correctly. That's how he ended up getting the concussion. Pitching a strong suit for the Rangers, I don't think that they need to make a deep – have deep thoughts on that coming up to the trade deadline. You are seeing a little bit of struggles out of Jack Leiter. That's a guy I do think that there's some decisions that the Rangers are going to have to make when it comes to this trade deadline. I don't think they make a huge splash, but you have a guy, like I mentioned earlier, you got a Jock Peterson who he's playing well, but he's on a one-year deal, and you're not going to re-sign him next year. You have a Jack Leiter who it's been up and down, and, you know, the Rangers like to see their projects out with Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker. We've seen it with Leody Taveras on the offensive side. But I just wonder if he has a rough month of June. Jordan Montgomery's coming back soon, former World Series hero out here. Cody Bradford, another left-handed arm who's made an impact in the major leagues. And you traded for Mackenzie Gore. You have the three-headed snake with Gore, Eovaldi, and Mr. Jacob DeGrom. So I wonder what you could get for a guy like Leiter. Is that going to stop you? You know, I could see the Rangers going for another outfielder, a solid center fielder, or even a second baseman. I know I said Duran's sort of found that spot, but he can go. Duran can play anywhere. And Nicky Lopez is the guy that whatever role you give him, he'll be great. I definitely think that they haven't addressed that second base position after Marcus Semien left. Maybe you take a swing at a guy like Ketel Marte, who they're saying isn't available, but if not, a right-handed bat. But don't sleep on this division. I don't think it's ever going to be figured out to the last weeks of the season. Houston recently got back Josh Hader to close games in the back end when their bullpen was one of the worst in baseball. And they add Hunter Brown to their rotation he makes his debut, or he pitches again, I'm sorry, Tuesday night. So I think it'll be Rangers and Astros to the end. Last thing, can the Rangers beat these teams that they're supposed to beat? They've been fighting to get over 500 all season. You got a series. Of course, San Diego, they play San Diego later this weekend, a team that's been reeling. And you face the Minnesota Twins team that offensively is good, but pitching-wise and record-wise, you should be able to beat them. So I'll be interested to see how they handle this week and if they can set themselves up to be over 500 before they hit the road for FIFA.
You're absolutely right. No, there's a lot of moving parts right now in America. A lot of great things going on for those of us who are in FIFA host cities. You've been able to experience a lot of great things, and they have been able to experience the game of baseball. So I'm actually really, really interested to see what this crowd is going to look like at the Braves game tomorrow, because you know, you have a lot of people in town, and if your team's not playing, hey, come on up to the Battery, man. It's going to be amazing. Sid, I know when we started, you said the Braves aren't playing that bad. They're currently getting beat 9-0.
Yeah.
Just looked over my shoulder and saw that. Anything you want to say before we get out of here? Any thoughts, questions, concerns? Or is it just go Knicks?
I mean, you might a little see some photography from me. A little something from the parade on Thursday. I'm flying up to New York City. No, I really got nothing baseball wise. We getting shellacked right now. It's a bullpen day. Nobody really knows what's going on. Christian Scott just went to the IL. Like,
I hate bullpen day so much.
The Twins are having one right now.
Joe Madden, God bless you.
Oh my gosh. Like, I hate bullpen days because, like, I know they're happening and I know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm still going to watch the game because, like, what if it doesn't? But
it does.
The only person it hasn't happened to is the Dodgers because their bullpen had, what's his name? Not Roki, Yoshinobu.
Yeah. But hey, man, you know, it is what it is. We love this great game and its many, many changing facets. But that's all we got for y'all today. Like I said, quick episode. Like I said, we're going to get back to weekly episodes. For my guys, Malik, enjoy the game, man. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. You got any players you're talking to this week, or you just vibing?
Oh, yeah. No, I love it's a lot of cool guys on the Minnesota Twins, a lot of people who have DFW connections. Josh Bell's from Irving. Royce Lewis lives out in Frisco, Texas. So I'll kick it with them a little bit tomorrow, and we'll see. Buxton's still like the Chupacabra. You don't see him often. But I'll see if I can get some work with him. And of course, my favorite pitcher, Atlanta-born Taj Bradley, who somehow finessed teams into thinking he knew he was a pitcher when he hadn't pitched at all. And he somehow got drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. And they're like, hey, bro. And he's like, hey, y'all, I've never pitched before. Help me.
And that's an insane story, but he pulled it off. No, man. So we got for y'all today. You know where to follow us. Follow the Barbershare at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you tap in with our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And mini camp started. NFL is right around the corner. You know how we do NFL season. All things Barbershare, make sure you tap in to bcnet.com. But Dante, Sid, and Malik, man, we will see y'all next week. Y'all be easy.